What Mark and Tony have both led us in tonight is kind of a preview of my message. So if you need to leave, well, you've already heard the best part. I'm excited to be with you tonight. So, speaking of excited, are y'all excited?
Oh, those lights are bright.
Are you excited about God? That's the question. Are you really excited about God? Okay, and I'm going to ask you a trick question, okay? So you want to be careful about how quick you are to answer. All right, when you say you're excited about God, and I know you are. I mean, this is the Wednesday night crowd, after all, so I know you're excited about God. But God is so incredible, so amazing, so wonderful. I believe there's always room for improvement, always room to be a little more excited about God. Because as long as we draw a breath, we could never exhaust how amazing God is, never be as excited as we could be. There's always room to be a little more excited. So I just want to tell you up front, my entire goal tonight and next week is to help us do that, to get a little more excited about God, to have a higher view of God. The way to be more excited about God is to have a higher view of God. The pastor this past Sunday, great message, but he mentioned that he believes that the church at large, the universal church, has lost its vision of its mission. And I believe he's right. And I believe one of the key reasons for that is not being excited enough about God, not having a high enough view of God. And so, again, there's always room for improvement. So I want to share with you tonight exactly how, or at least one way, how we can get more excited about God, how we can have a higher view, how that can continue to just grow and grow and grow in our Christian walk. And so we're gonna begin with a very familiar verse in just a moment, but we're going to key in tonight in Psalm chapter 33. That's going to be a key verse that we'll look at. You know, to get really excited about God, we really only need, you know, a verse or two, and that's what we're going to key in on tonight. So the title of this message is simply Indescribable. As much as we know about God, as wonderful, as great as he is, all the things he's told us about himself, he's still indescribable. He's that great. He's that wonderful. He's that amazing. He's simply indescribable. So I want to start right off tonight with the first point. Oh, and by the way, I know in your outline, I have 4 points, you know, and he hadn't even got to the first one yet. We'll never get done. Good thing Mark's not here. He's never going to get done. But we're only going to cover two tonight, okay? Only going to cover two. Hey, I can spend an hour on just two, maybe just one. But we're only going to cover two tonight. Next week, if you take notes, next week the first 2 points will be filled out for you in your outline. So don't worry as we move on. We're only covering 2 points tonight. And the first one is simply this. We should praise and worship the Star Maker. We should praise and worship the Star Maker. And I'm going to explain why I'm using the phrase, the word Star Maker here, because that's how we're going to key in tonight on just how awesome God is. But I want to start, in case you forgot, I want to start at the very beginning. The very beginning of the Bible, you know those words forwards and backwards. In the beginning, God, and I'm just going to stop there for just a moment. In the beginning, God, right there. And I'm going to use a phrase tonight several times probably. Right there, in the beginning, God, that's a jaw dropper, all right? That is just an absolutely incredible statement just in those 4 words. In the beginning, God. No explanation of who God is, where God is, what God is. Just in the beginning, God. That is jaw-dropping incredible. And then it even gets better. He goes on and said, he created the heavens and the earth. You realize that God has always been, he's eternal. You know that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, there was nothing. God wanted to create a world in which he could eventually put us in and be our God, be our Father. And there was no place to put it. The first thing he created was the heavens. There was nothing. There wasn't even space to hang the earth, and he created the heavens, not the stuff that was in them. That comes later. He just created the space. He created the heavens, and he created the earth. He created the space to put the earth in, and then he created the earth to put it there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jaw dropper, incredible. And then he said, let there be light. Now, this light wasn't yet the sun. That wasn't created until day four. We're still in day one. In day four, he created the sun. So we don't know exactly what this light was. But listen, this moment was a phenomenal moment. This was incredible. This was huge. Light came streaming out of the mouth of God, traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast light travels. And then on the fourth day, he created the sun, but it said on the first day, that was the morning and the evening. So when he put that earth out there, it was spinning, and there was a light, whatever it was, and the earth was spinning. There was day and night. There was morning and evening that very first day. But when he created the sun, I believe God had a sense of humor. You might wonder why. Well, you know, we needed a sun. We did. But he created the sun on day four. Look at this thing. This is a picture of our sun. A magnified view of our sun. Look at that seething, roiling, gaseous star. It's what it is. It's a star. That's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. A whole lot hotter inside. You can see those flares much hotter, but on the surface, the average temperature is 10,000 degrees. But God created the sun on day four, and the sense of humor part is he knew, of course he knew, that in the future, scientists would say, oh, the sun had to come first. You know, for all this stuff to just evolve like it did, which it didn't, but that's what they say, of course, had to have the sun first. So God created the sun on day four just to show them otherwise. But look, this sun, this seething ball of gas is 93 million miles away from us. Well, it's 10,000 degrees, so it's a good thing it's 93 million miles away, right? We wouldn't want it any closer than that. So light traveling at 186,000 miles per second takes 8 minutes to reach us. From when it leaves the surface of the sun, that heat traveling toward us takes 8 minutes before it touches your face. Again, very glad it's that that far away since it's so hot. But I want you to get an idea of the size of our sun. Yeah, it's big. Yeah, it's hot. But our sun is only rated at the fifth magnitude as they rate stars. Only the fifth magnitude. It's very bright. It's very big. And yet it's at least 100,000 times less radiant than its brightest neighbor. And its brightest neighbor is unbelievably bigger than our sun. And I'm going to give you some size comparisons in a little bit. But our sun, in spite of the fact that it's just a fifth magnitude sun, star, leaves us in awe. Did you realize, and of course, did you even ever think about that you can see 93 million miles? You see the sun, right? It's 93 million miles away. Wow, you guys got great eyesight. But it's 864,000 miles in diameter. Now stay with me on these details. I'm not going to give you a test, okay? But in just a moment, your jaw's going to drop when we look at our scripture. But I want you to have the idea of these facts in your head. It's 864,000 miles across. The sun is. It consists of 335 quadrillion cubic miles of violent hot gases. Now that's 335 with 15 zeros after it. All right. Now God created this star. He's incredible. He's all powerful. It weighs 2 octillion tons. That's a 2 with 27 zeros after it. You know, we can't even think in numbers that big. But God created this, and that's why, as we consider Psalm 33, that's why these things matter to us this evening. Look in verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Now, that's the first half of the verse. Just stop right there for a moment. by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. In other words, God didn't have to lift a finger to create the universe. Didn't have to lift a finger. He just spoke. And it happened. He said, let there be, and there was. But then look at the second half of that verse. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. The word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all of their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Okay, all those facts about our sun, that huge, big, gaseous ball out there, God just breathed out that star. That star and a whole lot of other stars, he literally just breathed them out. That's crazy. That's indescribably incredible. Looking at something so intense, so big, so hot, it's just incredible that our God, our all-powerful and all-knowing God, just breathed that out. So it's 93 million miles away. It's 10,000 degrees on the surface. And our star, our very own star, the sun, is almost 100,000 times, to give you some size perspective, 100,000 times the size of the earth. I can't see you very well, but I don't see any jumping up and down or hooping or hollering, or I don't even see your jaws dragging on the floor. So, well, I was afraid that might happen. So think about it this way. If the earth was the size of a golf ball, okay, the size of a golf ball, then the sun that would be a ball 15 feet tall. 15 feet. That's about as high as a ceiling. Not quite that, but so if you put a golf ball up here and set the earth by it, you saw the picture. It's the earth is a little bitty thing compared to the sun. I still not seeing the enthusiasm out there, still not seeing the great excitement. I was afraid of that, so I brought a golf ball. Okay, I brought a golf ball. If the earth were the size, can you see yourself? Can you see yourself right there? You're there. Okay, if the earth was the size of a golf ball, you could put, and the sun was the equivalent size, you could put over 960,000 of these in the sun, in that big ball representing the sun. Almost a million of these you could put inside our sun. It would be enough golf balls in those proportionate sizes, enough golf balls to entirely fill a full-size school bus. So our star is a massive star, but you know, that's we're just at the starting point. This our star is a fifth magnitude. It's actually small, but it's one of anywhere from, and no one knows. I mean, the telescopes can't see, you know, forever. 1 to 400 billion, with a B, not an M, billion stars in the universe, in the Milky Way, I'm sorry, in our galaxy, just our galaxy, and there's lots of galaxies, there are 1 to 400 billion stars. You see us on that, or the arrow is, that's our little cul-de-sac, it's our little corner in this whole big Milky Way galaxy. We're on an outer edge of it. We couldn't exist if we were much closer to the center than we are right here. So we're just one little small speck, and there's these hundreds of billions of stars out there. Most of you are familiar with the Hubble telescope. A guy named Hubble, you know, made that thing so we could see out there and see all these things. With the naked eye, we can only see about 6,000 to 7,000 stars. If we're in a dark place where there's not a lot of ambient light around us, we can only see 6,000 to 7,000 stars. But the Milky Way contains all these billions of stars, and our galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. 100,000 light years. Now, I'm not going to go into all the math, but with all these stars, all this space out here, this size, it's an incredible 600 million billion miles of stars, or 600 quadrillion, 615 zeros, miles of stars. And Hubble, the guy that invented that telescope that's helped him see all these things, he says, he's calculated that there's as many galaxies as there are stars in our galaxy. 1 to 400 billion, and there's in our galaxy alone, and he says there's that many galaxies. Now keep in mind, as we look at these things, our God breathed out all these stars. I mean, we cannot comprehend that power, that immense power, as well as the intelligence to go along with it, to make them what they are and to do what they do. They're incredibly, the universe is incredibly large. We cannot, in our minds, we cannot fathom those numbers and what God has done. It just boggles the mind. Our minds, our finite minds, aren't equipped to understand the infinite. We're on this little golf ball, and the sun is just so huge, and yet it's a small star of billions and billions and billions of stars out there. Well, astronomers, not too long back, discovered the biggest star to date, and I'm going to update that in a moment, but it's got a cool name. It's called Canis Majoris. Canis Majoris, and it means big dog. I mean, what else would you name the biggest one, huh? Big dog. So I think we've got a picture of that. It's a little reddish glow. Oop, not back that one up one. I want to get there quiet yet. Yeah, that red glow there just to the right of center, that's Canis Majoris. It's way out in the universe. Now, if we were, let's go back to the golf ball for just a moment. If Earth was this golf ball, and you were going to put something next to it to represent the size of the Earth versus the size of Canis Majoris, you would have to place beside this golf ball Mount Everest. That's how big. Remember, our sun would just be a 15-foot ball. To represent Canis Majoris, it would be a Mount Everest. 6 miles almost above sea level is Mount Everest. That's how big this thing is that God, our God, just breathed out. And I said I'd update. I just discovered this afternoon, looking this up, there has been a new star found that's just a little bit bigger than Canis Majoris. Not huge bigger, but it's a little bit bigger. So we're continuing to discover how incredibly awesome, powerful, mighty our God is. We just can't imagine how incredible He is. It can't but help us have a higher view of who He is. So the fact is that 7 quadrillion of these golf balls representing Earth could fit inside an equal representation of Canis Majoris. It would be enough golf balls. That's enough golf balls to cover this entire state of Texas 22 inches deep. It's just unbelievably huge. But to give you maybe a fuller perspective, Tom, let's watch that video now. And I just want you to get the idea from Mercury and Mars going on through our planets. There comes Earth, just a little bigger than Venus. It's got to back it up to show Neptune in our own solar system, and backing up some more to see Saturn. Now we're going to back way up to get the perspective on our sun. And then we're going to begin looking at some other stars. Again, ours, just the fifth magnitude. These are what God has just breathed out. It does not say Betelgeuse. And here comes our Canis Majoris. Just absolutely jaw-dropping, incredible. Our God just breathed these things out. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of billions of them. You couldn't come up here in with that picture up there. You could not come up here and put a mark on that small enough to represent the earth. There is no writing utensil made small enough, that made a point small enough to represent even our own sun up next to Canis Majoris. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel small. I'm telling you that we are small in comparison to what God has done and is doing. God has done this incredible thing in creating all of this, but he's the same God today as he was then. He created this stuff about 6,000 years ago, and I can back that up scientifically, but now's not the time. Mark will be upset with me. I'm not trying to make you feel small. I'm telling you that we are small. But seeing these things, seeing this hugeness of God, It can and should bring a shrinking feeling over us, okay? But yet, in a good way, a good feeling, because, see, the problem is sin has a way of shrinking in our minds, has a way of shrinking God down and puffing us up in regard to our own estimation. Sin does that. But if we'll stop for just a moment and take a glance at the universe that God has created, it resizes everything. It puts things back in the proper perspective about how incredible God is. It enables us to realize that we worship an unrivaled, uncontested God. That song Mark led us in tonight, I thought, oh, this is so perfect, so fitting for this message. Our God is almighty. He's all powerful. He's all glorious. He's awesome. There's none like him in all creation because he is the creator. I love this verse that we were looking at in Psalm 33. By his word, the heavens were made. And he just literally breathes out stars. We should praise and worship the star maker. And then I want to mention one other passage of scripture from the New Testament that Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus. He prayed for them in Ephesians 1:19, several things, but in verse 19 he says that he wanted us to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He's praying that prayer for the Ephesians, and it's in our Bibles, but it's for us too. God inspired those words, and they're there for us, wanting us to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. You understand in this power, this great power of God, that it took more effort to affect our redemption than it did to affect all of creation? God is so big, so powerful. He just breathed out all these stars. just breathed them out, and by his word, he created all things. But to redeem us, he had to suffer and die. And he loved us enough to do that. The seemingly endless universe demonstrates his creation. And it's an empty tomb that demonstrates his redemption, what he's provided for us. Paul reminds us in this verse, in this prayer, the direction of God's immeasurable power. What does it say there? It said, toward us who believe. He prayed that we would know the surpassing greatness of the power of God toward us who believe. So listen, tonight, as we absorb this, as we think about this amazing God, the hugeness of our God, who he is and what he's done, there's no excuse for any child of God to live a defeated life or a discouraged life. None whatsoever. There is no excuse for any child of God to live without firm hope that he is in control. No one can take control from our God. Every bit, all the power of the Godhead is directed towards us. That's incredible. I'm looking for jaws on the floor. This is jaw-dropping incredible. That's what's happening towards us who believe. Paul prayed that we would know that. That wouldn't just be head knowledge. That would be heart knowledge. Let me ask you this question about it. Is when you're in conversation with people, anywhere, you might be at home talking to family, you might be talking to friends, neighbors, you might be in a checkout lane at a grocery store, you might be going through a drive-thru in a fast food place. Whoever you're talking to, wherever you're talking to them, is it natural for you to just bring up God? Does that just naturally come out? Are you intentional about that? The higher view you have of God, the more excited you are about God and who he is, the more often you'll do that. And it's those opportunities that develop into opportunities to witness, to tell people about this awesome, incredible God that you just have to talk about. We have all this creative power of God who sits on the throne, is sovereign over all his creation. He created it and he sustains it, directed toward us. You know what? You want to know what that means? That means we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It just puts that all together. We really can. And this whole point that I'm wanting to make leads us directly into a very brief second point. The pardoned should be willing to serve. To serve this incredible God. Every Christian should just be right there ready. In the announcements tonight. See, this the whole everything that happens here is part of worship. Even in the announcements, there were evangelistic events, evangelistic opportunities that were mentioned there. We got a fall festival coming up. The Trunk or Treat. There's going to be lost people here on this campus. Why would we not want to be here to show and share the love of Christ with those lost people so that they can become part of this, the family of this incredible God? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Every opportunity, any opportunity that can have to show and share the love of Christ. If you're a Christian, if you've been pardoned by this loving, powerful, all-knowing God, then for goodness sakes, why would we not want to serve him? Why wouldn't that just be a natural outpouring? If you have a high enough view of God, you're going to look for any and every opportunity to serve this God. Any Christian desiring to be obedient could never say no to serving this God. And there's a thousand upon thousand ways to serve. It's why we're here, literally. It's why we're here. Our purpose in having been redeemed is to make God known. For us to know Him and then to make Him known. That's why we're here. To refuse is to deny our purpose for existing. So my prayer tonight for us is, as I close, is that we would just think about how incredible our God is. Spend more and more time thinking about how incredible our God is. If you want to increase this more quickly, there's two things I recommend that you study that will just blow up where you're at and take you to a whole new level quickly, and that's studying the attributes of God as well as the names of God. They tell us so much about who He is. Put us in more and more awe and wonder at how amazing He is. So as you consider all this tonight, the question, do you have a high enough view of God? Do you realize that you could have, can have, and should have, as each day goes by, a higher and higher view of God? Does the very thought of God, of who He is, stir up your soul, your spirit, and just make you want to just shout hallelujah? That's our God. We're commanded to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know what? There's always room to do that a little more. A little more today and a little more tomorrow and a little more the next day. There's always room and always will be room for improvement. I pray that you will begin looking at our God in just a little bit bigger, higher way. And we'll look at a couple more points in regard to the same thing. We've looked at the outer space. We're going to look at inner space next week. And I hope you'll even be in more awe of who He is. Let's pray together. Father, take these moments, these words, even the brief words that we've looked at in Scripture that You have given to us so that we might know You, that we might understand a little more about You, that we might see and appreciate Your greatness and be in awe and wonder of who You are, of how great You are, Your surpassing greatness. I pray as Paul prayed that we would know Your surpassing greatness and know more and more of it each and every day. Bless those who are here and desire to know You and to draw closer, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.